All right, so today's talk is called Stand Firm. And I don't know if I know some of you are brand new, so you haven't been here for our lovely ride through Philippians and now Ephesians, which were called Paul's prison epistles. And you can go back and listen to the podcasts, but if I were in prison, I would not have had the same joyful attitude, I don't think. And so it is such a testimony to Paul to be so filled with the Holy Spirit and so, I think, connected to God that he could consider all things, you know, joy, and he could rejoice no matter what. And I have to say, this is something that God is teaching me, and it's a journey I think that we will all be on for our whole lives. But what's amazing is that I don't think Paul knew the impact when he's in prison, what his attitude, he and Paul and Silas were rejoicing in prison, and there was an earthquake, and things happened, you know, at that time that were miraculous and astounding. But I don't think any of us ever know what the ripple effect is of our rejoicing and telling others to rejoice and encouraging one another. And here we are 2,000 years later, and we are still being edified by the attitude of Paul 2,000 years ago. And so I just think about that every now and again, because I just had my daughter here who just graduated from medical school. I had to put that in. And she's moving to Australia. They just left yesterday. And she was bringing up some, you know, good things and bad things from the past, you know, and things that I don't even remember. And so you just never know the impact of your attitude and how that's going to affect, even within your own lifetime, but much less than the attitude that your kids are going to teach their kids, and their kids are going to teach their kids. You know what I'm saying? And so if this is something that seems foreign to you, that's okay. You can start something new. You can start a new attitude or a new tradition or a new way of reacting to things. You do not have to be shackled to the past. If you had angry parents or, you know, whatever it is, just look to what Paul says. He says, you know, imitate me. Imitate what you've seen and heard in me. And so we have this beautiful example in Paul. And he didn't do it on his own. It was by divine grace. And so I want to encourage you to pray to change. Pray to change. If this doesn't come naturally, I don't think it comes naturally. I don't know people that it comes naturally for, but if it does, you're a very blessed person. But pray that the Lord would give you the grace to be able to embrace what we've been learning and hearing and reading. And so today, speaking of that, when I have talked before on this, it's very funny. People have different attitudes, because what we're going to talk about today is putting on the full armor of God, which is beautiful teaching, but there's a reason why we need to put on the full armor of God. And it's because our fight is not a fight, as he says, against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces in the heavenlies, principalities. Meaning that there is far more to this life than what we taste, see, hear, touch, and smell. And that's called the supernatural. And when you talk about the word supernatural, some people are like, you know, I don't want to talk about that, you know. And it's like, well, there's good supernatural and there's bad supernatural. Like, and all that means is above the natural. God is supernatural. The Holy Spirit is supernatural. Things, miracles are supernatural. It's things that are beyond what we see right here in the physical. And so what Paul's going to talk about is we need to equip ourselves, because believe it or not, there is a real live devil, and he does have a dominion of fallen angels that are, their number one goal in life is to bring us down. If you get nothing else from today, please remember this: God is 100% for you, and the devil is 100% against you. Now, the devil sugarcoats many, many things. And, you know, wide is the path of destruction. It all looks like a carnival when we begin down the path of destruction, right? I mean, think about Pinocchio. I love the story of Pinocchio. It's just such a great example. It's a great spiritual teaching for children. But it's like, you know, it all starts out fun and games, you know, and then you end up a donkey, you know. And so it's like God has given us these tools through this writing of Paul to help to make us aware so that we can stand firm. Now, I didn't bring it, I forgot it, but hopefully we're going to do it after we do the full armor of God. So I'm going to teach you today about the full armor of God. But when you come back after the holidays, we're going to dig deep into it. And each week we're going to take one of these beautiful teachings and we're going to expand upon it. So I'm just going to give you an overview, basically, a foretaste of what we're about to experience. But God, remember, is 100% for us. The devil is 100% against us. And believe it or not, basically all that we do in this life does have some sort of spiritual component in it. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. So today's talk is stand firm, and we need to learn to act in God's strength and, as he says, courageously stand firm. So today's scriptures are taken from Ephesians chapter 6, which is the last chapter of Ephesians, and we're going to concentrate on 10 and beyond. And he says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. So as you may know, I wrote that book, From Worry to Wonder, and this is the last chapter of that book. This is what we talk about. So mm-hmm. when we come back after we do this, hopefully we'll do then From Worry to Wonder after we do the full armor of God. So, but this is the final step in the Worry to Wonder checklist if you've read the book. So what do we need to stand firm against? Well, what the Bible calls the enemy of our soul and the lies he whispers into our hearts. And what he does is he tries to make us doubt what I just told you, that God is 100% for us. All right. If the enemy can get us to doubt God's goodness or his good intent for us, then we start kind of doing this dance. All right. So the idea of the devil may seem very strange to some people. And like I said, people have different reactions. I can remember one woman was that when we taught on this, she was just like, why do we have to talk about the devil? There's so much good. Why do we have to talk about the devil? Well, because he's real and he comes to destroy our joy, our peace, and our overall well-being. All right. And we don't want to overly focus on these dark forces, but we also don't want to be ignorant or ignore them altogether. But the good news is this: Christ triumphed over evil when he died on the cross. And it says this in Colossians 2:15, God disarmed the principalities and powers and made a public example of them triumphing over them in him. So Christ is greater, he's bigger. So Christ has won the victory for us. And this is really the great news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is Christ won. All right, and it's like turning to the last page of the book and finding out the ending. Here's the ending, girls, the spoiler alert. Christ won, all right? He won the battle, he won the victory. And he lives inside of us, why? Because we are in between, it's called the in-between time. Christ has come, and yet we're still here on planet Earth battling it out every day with the enemy of our soul. And yet we have a hope for something so much greater. And he lives inside of us. So he disarmed the principalities. So Christ won the victory for us all. And this is the great news. And through him, we can resist evil and triumph as well. But we must be on our guard against the powers of darkness and the lies and schemes of the enemy. So many things can come at us and cause us to worry or get frustrated or angry. I experienced that very much this morning. All kinds of things can make us lose our peace, right? To make us get our eyes off of what is good and living our best life, to getting very frustrated in this world. And when we start to, we can get very fraught with worry or anxiety. And, you know, one of the things that all of these, whatever it is that's coming at you, has in common is, believe it or not, it all feeds on lies. And that's the devil's number one tool, you know, is smoke and mirrors and lies. And the reason why is because when they come at us and we begin to get fraught with worry or anxiety or frustrated, in effect, what we're saying is we're letting ourselves believe that the lie, that God is not bigger than our circumstances. That God is not bigger than our circumstances or a temptation or whatever it is. And that we fall into the lie that God cannot cause all things to work together for good. We start doubting, what did I say? That God is 100% for us. And this is how the enemy works. He lies to us and we fall for it. So we must learn to overcome our worries or whatever it is each day. We must fight this battle and learn to stand firm in the promises of God and trusting him. Paul writes, goes on to say in Ephesians 6:10-12, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now that whole, that word whole in the Greek means adequate or impressive. I love that. Put on the impressive armor of God. And I don't know if y'all have ever seen some beautiful armor that the Roman army used to wear, but talk about impressive. Part of it was, or the gladiator outfits, was what? To intimidate the enemy, right? So your armor of God says, Christ Jesus has got my back. You know, just think, whatever the most powerful thing you can think of, that's what you have impressed upon your armor. Put on the impressive armor of God and stand firm. It's not just a slogan, because it's truth, right? So we have to put on the impressive armor of God that we may be able to stand against, I love this, the schemes of the devil. Now it doesn't say against the power or the overwhelming nature or the crushing, no, it's the schemes. What did I say he does?
Lies.
He's the father of lies. He's the father of lies. Girls, you gotta know who you are and who your daddy is, right? And I can assure you, if you know that, you can stand firm, all right? Who's your daddy? God. What's your armor say? He's got my back, all right. So, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now, it does seem odd that he would say that there is evil in heavenly places, right? How crazy is that? You would think it's all perfect and good. Ladies, there's still a spiritual battle going on. And that's why you read about St. Michael the Archangel was duking it out, you know, against the spirit that was over Persia. You can read about it in the Old Testament. There's still a spiritual battle going on. And so, but God is greater. And we are in, like I said, we are in between the times, but we're on the winning team. We're on the winning team, all right? So, I used to think that good and evil in the world were more or less equal, you know, and that they were somewhere, not sure where they were exactly, but they were just duking it out, good and evil, duking it out. But that is not correct at all. The battle is not just happening out there. It's happening where? In here. This is the battle right here, right in here, in our daily lives. But get this, God is infinitely more powerful than any evil force. Why? God is creator God. When there was nothing, and I don't even mean dark matter, I mean when there was nothing, God was God. God is creator, and he created everything. Anything that's created is below God. Satan is a fallen angel. He's a created being. There is no contest between God and what God can do, and even the enemy, the devil, or his demons. They're mere creatures, fallen angels, that rebelled against God, and there is no contest. God is the victor, and he has given us then the power and the means to stand firm against evil. And one way that he's given us to do this is by putting on the full armor. So Paul writes, therefore, take up the whole, the impressive, the entire armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil days. And having done all, to stand firm, Okay, he's going to say stand firm here like six times. All right. Stand firm, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. All right. That right there is the armor of God that God has given us. Now we're going to talk about it. So even if we know all of this, we can, in our very wounded and weak humanity, still get knocked around by life. Anybody here get knocked around by life, even though you may have read this a million times? Okay, guilty as charged. This morning, totally crazy. All right. So when this happens, if we're not plugged into the power source, aka connected to Jesus in a very humble and prayerful manner, gazing at him and saying, help, I'm weak, I need help, I'm stumbling, help, 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 save me. We can find ourselves, and I hate to say it, I did it this morning, reacting with our emotions instead of, this is how it's supposed to be, letting our emotions inform our reason and then our will acting out. All right, so we're supposed to act, let emotions inform reason, reason inform will, and then choose to act accordingly, according to our, you know, let our will then act, all right, out of reason. All right. But sadly, if we give into our emotions, it really never ends well. Emotions are a great indicator, I've said it before, and a terrible dictator. They're a great indicator, but a terrible dictator. So if you live your life allowing your emotions to take over, which I have to confess, I'm an emotional being, and my husband seems, well, I know he has them, but they're not always present. So anyway, you can imagine there's been some heated things happen in our home. But anyway, but we also have to remember that when these things happen, there's a spiritual component to it. There's a spiritual component to it that the enemy knows you really well, and he knows just how to push your buttons, all right? So Father Jacques Philippe states this in Searching for and Maintaining Peace. Every Christian must be thoroughly convinced that his spiritual life can in no way be viewed as the quiet unfolding of an inconsequential life without any problems. Rather, it must be viewed as the scene of a constant and sometimes painful battle, which will not end until death, a struggle against evil, temptation, and the sin that is in him. This combat is inevitable, but it is to be understood as an extremely positive reality, because as St. Catherine of Siena says, without war, there is no peace. Without combat, there is no victory. And this combat is correctly viewed the place of our purification, of our spiritual growth, where we learn to know ourselves in our weakness and to know God in his infinite mercy. This combat is the definitive place of our transfiguration and glorification. Mm. How beautiful is that?
Say it again.
Yeah. You want me to read the whole thing again?
This
is Father Jacques Philippe, and we brought him from France a few years ago. He spoke. Anything you put your hand on that he has written, you will be edified by. I have three top writers. He is one of them, Father Jacques Philippe. All right, this is from Searching for and Maintaining Peace, an absolutely gem of a book. All right, so he says, this combat is inevitable, but it is to be understood as an extremely positive reality because, as St. Catherine of Siena says, without war, there is no peace. Without combat, there is no victory. And this combat is correctly viewed the place of our purification, of our spiritual growth, where we learn to know ourselves in our weakness and to know God in his infinite mercy. This combat is the definitive place of our transfiguration and glorification. Beautiful, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't need to fear. We don't need to fear. It's like training, you know, when you go to the gym, what? No pain, no gain, you know, but every time you work out, what? You get stronger. All right? And it should help you to then go the distance. And we're going to talk about that. So Ephesians 6, 10, 11 states, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Ladies, it's like a training ground. You know, if anybody ever saw, going off on so many tangents, but anybody here see Kung Fu Panda? Such a great, again, a great spiritual movie to show your kids. To show how he started out weak, but then he becomes this incredible Kung Fu master. But it took time, and he had to train. This is what God's saying here. This is our training ground, become the whooshy finger, right? I mean, that was the Kung Fu Panda. Anyway, so what I'm saying, though, is that it's for our good. It's for our good. Don't look at everything as, ugh. Look at it as, yeah, God is training me to be this powerful spiritual warrior, and he's giving us the tools in order to do it, all right? So it's for our transfiguration and our glorification, all right? So we, though, in ourselves are not strong enough to withstand the attacks of the enemy of our soul. We were never intended to go it alone. Jesus says this in John 10:10. Jesus states that the thief, the enemy, the devil, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But the good news is this. Jesus says, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. All right? So this is ways of us having our best life now, our abundant life. But we have to train for it. We don't need to be batted around by the enemy of our soul. He gives us the tools we need to stand firm, and that's why he says it so many times, all right? So how do we experience this life, this peace? How are we able to withstand the attacks of the enemy? Well, we have to put on the full armor of God, the armor of light, and that's what he talks about in Romans. He's like, cast off the old dark stuff, put on the armor of light, all right? We must learn to use the weapons we have been given in order to stand firm. And, you know, it's like, I love movies, obviously, but, you know, when Batman, when he goes down into the Bat Cave and the lights come on, it's like, oh my gosh, like, he's got all these different armors depending on what he's going to do and all these different weapons. All right, ladies, lights are on. We're in the Bat Cave. We're about to experience what God has given to us so that we can be spiritual warriors and not wimps. We were never intended to run from the devil. Just wait. We're to stand firm and take our life and all that comes at us head on. And we can't do it in our own strength, but we have on the armor of God. And who's standing behind us? God. Who's standing before us? God. Who's standing to our right? God. To our left? God. Above us? God. Below us? God. Ladies, we can go forward in life. We do not have to be intimidated by the evil one. Okay? So here we go. So what exactly is the armor of God? According to theologian Peter Williamson, he says to clothe oneself with God's armor, and here's your definition, means to embrace attitudes and actions that unite Christians with the victorious Messiah. The goal is to resist Satan's attacks and to hold our ground. Literally, that in the Greek means to stand firm, to stand like with both feet on the ground, when all is said and done. So, we as Christians are told four times to stand firm here in Ephesians 6. We are not called, we don't have to crush the enemy because Jesus Christ already did that on the cross, okay? On the cross, he crushed the head of the serpent. And it was through we got that in Eve, in Genesis. God says, you know, through the seed of the woman, the head of the serpent will be crushed. And that's what Christ did on the cross. He crushed the head of the serpent. And he already did that through his victorious death and resurrection. So we are simply told to stand firm because Christ is doing the fighting for us. He has won the battle, meaning to be on our guard against the tactics, the schemes of the enemy. So Williamson goes on to state, the danger is not that Satan will overwhelm us with his power, but that we'll be deceived or tricked by him. He's so good. He's the father of lies. He's the tricky guy, right? He tricked Eve in the garden. He didn't overwhelm her. What did he do? He deceived her. It's exactly what happens to us. We get deceived. Why? Because we believe these little lies that that whatever we're going through is too much for us, or it's probably too much for us, but it's not too much for God in us and through us. All right? So that is why the first piece of armor is so important. All right? So here we're going to go through, and we don't even have time. We don't have time, and I hate to leave you on a cliffhanger. What time is it, Catherine?
Do you have 10 minutes?
10 minutes. We're going to go really fast. Put on your seatbelts, all right? So we're going to stand firm. All right, we have to stand fast with our loins girded in truth. And some versions say, like a belt around you. I have a better definition. Spanx. Anybody? Okay. You don't have to say if you have your Spanx on. But it's what girds your loins, girls, and makes you stand up straight and hold it in tight, right? Clinch and go. All right. So this is what we have to do. We must know the truth of God's holy word and the teachings that we've been given through our churches that holds us up when we are feeling weak, discouraged, and tempted. In ancient times, the belief was from the loins or the gut. And it's so funny, like it says, and you can see it in Rome and all different, that from the belly is what flowed forth all emotion. Everything was in the gut. And it is funny, if you ever do any gut research, there's actually more nerve endings in your gut than there is in your brain. Can you believe that? So that's why you have butterflies in your tummy and everything else. It's where we feel things is in our gut, right? And so you think it'd be your heart, but anyway. So he says, gird up like a girdle, like our Spanx, our life source with truth, which enables us to stand strong. This is paramount. It's number one, all right? Truth. We have to know the truth. This will enable us to prevail over the lies of the enemy. What did I say the enemy does? He lies. Mm-hmm. Who's for us 100%?
God.
Who's 100% against us? The enemy. If God's won the victory, the only way he can infiltrate is through his lies and schemes, all right? When he whispers, anybody here ever been discouraged? He whispers discouragement into our heart. He twists the truth. Anybody here had someone look at you sideways and suddenly the wheels start turning. What have I done? Oh my gosh, da 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 da, right? Okay, we can go down these paths of darkness instead of just rejecting it and saying, God bless that person, they're having a bad day, right? Okay, he twists things. His aim is always to undo us by trying to distance us from God, who is 100% for us, and our thinking that God is 100% for us, and that anything that happens for us is going to turn out. God is going to make it. He doesn't turn evil into good, but he brings good out of evil. All right. So his goal is to undo us, to make us think that God is not 100% for us, to distance us from that goodness of God and his mercy, to believe that, and also from each other. That is his goal, to alienate us from God and one another. His name is, anybody know the name? And Diablos. You know what that means? Divider. The divider. All right? He's a backbiter and divider. That's the accuser, the backbiter, the divider is what Diablos. So we must remember, merciful, kind Jesus is greater. His love, grace, and mercy go deeper than all of our weaknesses and failures. And guess what? Other people's too. Other people's too. I often forget that God didn't just die for me. He died for that person and their weakness and their failure. Give them the grace that Jesus gave them. He died for that. And ladies, it ain't always about you. It ain't always about you. I've had to say that to myself a lot, all right? So his love, grace, and mercy go deeper than all of our weakness and failures and other people's too. So do not be deceived. Jesus is the truth. Embrace him and let him embrace you. All right, we're going to pray now and ask Jesus to reveal to us the lies we have believed from the enemy. If you believe that you're anything contrary to being God's beloved child, and that you've believed a lie in any way, if you've been labeled that you're a weakling or this is never going to work for you, or, you know, that God must love the girl sitting next to you way more than you because you did this terrible thing in your past, or you can't get over this pet sin. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's what Satan is whispering to what? distance you from God and from other people. So let's just pray right now. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Lord, I just ask for the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, that's so much greater than Satan's lies. And we unmask you, enemy of our soul, now. We unmask you. And we come against any spirit that set itself up against God and his truth. And now we ask that the Spirit of Truth come and release us. And empower us to be able to walk forward, Lord, in the strength and the power that you give us. We ask that you just power wash us today. Any old crusty lies, in the name of Jesus, be gone. Let us know that we are your beloved, that you make all things new, shiny and new, that you bring us out of darkness, and that we can put on this armor of light. And it's a light that's from the inside that shines outside. Lord, help us to remember we ain't got time for all that old poop. We want to walk forward in newness of life. Help us to be able to forgive and forget and move forward. Give us you, Lord. Bring us you. Bring us your victorious Holy Spirit. Wash us clean, Lord, we pray. We ask this in your precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. All right. We have got five more pieces of armor that we're not going to be able to get through. And I just want to tell y'all this, that when God calls you his beloved, he does not mean that we are perfect. And it does not mean or that we must, as Father Jacques Philippe says this, vanquish all our faults, never succumb to temptation, have no more weaknesses or shortcomings. I used to think that. I used to think I had to be perfect for God to love me. And I was so afraid to be super intimate with Jesus because I was afraid he wasn't going to love me because he's going to see all the cracks in my armor, all the ways I... Guess what? Newsflash. He already knows. And he loves you anyhow. That's the Jesus that you serve. That's the Jesus that loves you. He doesn't love you because you're perfect or because you're holy. He loves you because you're his. So we can go forward in victory. Not perfect. He never asks us. He says, be perfect. That means mature. But we can go forward in victory confidently in the love of Christ because he knows us. And Father Jacques Philippe says, if we have to vanquish all our faults, never succumb to temptation, have no more weakness or shortcomings, if you think this, you will surely be vanquished by the enemy, because who among us can pretend never to have fallen? And it is certainly not this that God demands of us, for he knows that we are what we are made of. He remembers that we are but dust. So we need to get right with God every day. And so the first one is the belt of truth. So I'm going to leave you with that. I have so many other weapons that I would love to empower you with today. You're just going to have to come back in January and we'll go over them. All right. And you can read it because there's so many great things. Gosh, I just wish I had hours and hours to tell you what they are, but we don't have it. So we're gonna close just right now with this. And Lord, I just ask that every single one of these women is gonna come back and we're gonna get empowered by you. And if we hear nothing else, let us remember over Advent when we're meeting with family and Christmas and all the emotions and everything that comes with it. Lord, you're 100% for us. And you can cause good to come out of it. And let us trust you, rejoice, and stand firm in the truth. Lord, give us this grace, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, God bless. That's it.
Cliffhanger.
The cliffhanger.